Everyone, in accordance with item one, I declare the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. Item two, acknowledgement of country. We acknowledge the cultural custodians of the land, the Kanyang, Pibulmin and Wadandi people. We acknowledge and support the continuing connection to the land, waterways and community. We pay our respects to members of the Aboriginal communities and their culture, and to elders past and present, their descendants still with us today, and those who will follow in their footsteps. Item three on the agenda, attendance, apologies and leave of absence. There has been no leave of absences, but Councillor Julie Boyle is an apology. Item four, attendance of gallery. Thank you for those in the gallery for attending. I request that you place your names on the attendance sheet on the table at the entrance of the chambers if you have not already done so. Response to previous questions taken on notice, CEO? No matters. Thank you. At this point, I would like to, in accordance with Clause 18.1 of the Standing Orders Local Law, suspend Clause 9.1, members to rise. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Gillies. So moved, Councillor Carstairs, seconded Councillor Gillies. If there's no objection, all those in favour? Thank you, councillors. So there will be no requirement on councillors to rise, and my rationale for that is that the audio is such that if a councillor were to rise, then they would be stepping away from the audio equipment, so it would defeat the purpose. Now I'll move on to item six, public question time. I now open public question time at 5:33. If anyone has a question, please step up to the microphone and state your name and address, and if you're a ratepayer or a resident. Thank you.
Bruce Bevington, Carbonate Brook Road, Sunnyside. In relation to item 17.4, notice of intention to levy differential rates. The table that's been presented, can I confirm that, and the adjustments that have been made to determine the individual rates in the dollar, has that been taken on account with working out the number of commercial industrial properties that the new rates would apply to if they're accepted, and how much revenue will be generated by the change of the new commercial and industrial GRV? I know that there's the overall increase to 5.04%, but how much does each of those categories individually increase?
Thank you, Mr. Beddington. I'll pass you over to our Director of Corporate Services.
One moment, sorry, I'll just pull it up. So, for the new commercial rate, as I'm asking,
Was it commercial?
Yeah. So, yes, so the number of properties has been considered and the overall rates yield increases by $301,000. And that's how much is generated from the change in category.
I think we'll have to take it on notice because we've got what it generates in terms of the total category, but then we'd have to go back and look at what those particular properties would have generated as if they stayed in the other category. So we'll just take that on notice and get back to you.
And also Bruce Pennington, Capital Grant said, if we could have those answers before the submissions close, if this motion is accepted or not. Those properties that are affected by the change of commercial and industrial GRV from currently residential GRV, some of them are facing an increase of 12.93% with zero rate valuation change. Will these affected landholders be notified in advance of this change of policy and that they're likely to get a 12.93% increase when the Shire is indicating it's only increasing rates by 5.04%?
Director?
So in accordance with the Act, if there is less than 30 people in that category, we will be doing consultation with the people within the category to let them know what the change in the circumstance is.
CEO?
Yeah, and in those categories in particular, one of the issues was that with the change in GRVs in the previous year, because commercial industrial GRVs changed differently to what residential GRVs did, a number of those properties would have had rate decreases in the last financial year from the year before. So one of the things that we were looking at is trying to make sure that that doesn't happen in the future and to try and put the put it back to where the rate burden sat previous to that GRV revaluation. So that's part of the reason for doing it.
Mr. Beddington, did that answer your question?
Regarding item 20.1, the PE 43 temporary road closure policy, and I apologise I didn't get the information through to you and the councillors till late today because we've been away. In relation to this policy, the scope says it applies to vehicles with a gross mass of 4.5 tonnes or greater and or licensed vehicles travelling on gazetted roads impacted by temporary road closure. Local traffic. Doesn't it apply to all traffic?
CEO?
Yes, I think those categories would pretty much cover all traffic. But yeah, we can make that clearer that it is intended to cover all traffic. I think those particular categories have specific elements of the policy that apply to them. That's probably why they were spelled out differently.
In regard to the same item on the third page of the draft policy, it lists the exemptions. Local residents accessing properties in vehicles under 4,500 kilograms gross, emergency service vehicles and Shire Bridgetown Green Horses plant and machinery. There doesn't appear to be any ability to modify the exemptions once the policy is accepted. So it would appear that, would it be correct, my reading, that the exemption cannot be changed by the CEO and that the CEO can actually not completely close a road to all traffic under this policy, even though you might be able to close it under the provisions within the Act itself.
CEO.
The CEO can issue permits. Those are exemptions that apply without a permit, but the CEO can issue permits for people to access roads that are closed that are above that 4.5 ton limit or haven't already got exemptions within the exemptions spelled out in the policy.
The point is more that if the road is of such condition that you either want to close road access at all, and you may wish to say that you only want vehicles with a weight of 1 ton to use a road, under the exemptions under this policy, you can't change that. So, because there is nothing about the ability to change the exemptions, only that you can issue an approval. So it concerns me that whilst I agree with the policy concept, we may actually have a situation where we could limit someone to a 1 ton limit on a section of road, but we can't under this policy. Would that be correct?
CEO?
Yeah, so this policy wouldn't cover that situation. So this only allows the CEO to close roads to vehicles over 4.5 ton. So, and that's done with the intention of protecting the integrity of the roads when it's particularly wet and stopping heavy haulage predominantly from using roads when it's wet and doing significant damage to them. So closing them to vehicles under that 4.5 ton limit doesn't fall within the realms of this policy.
This policy is not temporary road closures of vehicles 4.45 tonne or greater. This is temporary road closures within the Shire of Bridgetown. So it actually would apply to all vehicles except that are in the scope, because it's and or. So it can include or. This policy applies to the vehicles that are 4.5 tonne and or licensed vehicles travelling on a gazetted road. So that means every road in the Shire that's controlled by the Shire under this policy is covered, not just those with a 4.5 ton limit. I think there's a few issues with this policy, and perhaps
CEO.
So I don't think we see any issues with how it's written. It is written in the same way as a number of other policies are for local government, and that 4.5 ton limit is the limit for which I can close roads under this policy. There are other processes for closing roads to all vehicles, whether temporarily or permanently, but this policy gives me the guidance and the discretion to do it in the circumstances prescribed for vehicles over 4.5 ton. That's specifically what it's designed for.
The definitions also refer to a gazetted road and also a road, but it refers to licensed vehicles travelling on gazetted roads impacted by a temporary road closure with no weight limit. That would mean if a road, such as the road along Gidlup Brook, behind the shops, which is not a gazetted road, it is a road, it's unnamed because it's required to be named in the definition, that this policy would not apply to vehicles above or below, considering the trucks that service that road, would not apply because it cannot be applied if it is not a gazetted road and a named road. So how are you going to work in relation to roads like the road, whatever isn't called near Jigglup Brook?
Simple answer is I wouldn't. I'd only be doing it for gazetted roads.
Are there any further questions from the gallery? There being no further questions, I'll close our public question time at 5:46. Moving on to item 7 on the agenda, petitions, deputations and presentations. We do have a presentation today from Ms. Dewing from the Blackwood Environment Society. Would you please step forward? Thank you.
I'll just tell you when I want to stop those slides. Thank you. For those who don't know me, I'm Jenny Dewing. I'm the chair of Blackwood Environment Society, and I thank you for the opportunity to address you tonight. I'm here to ask you, on behalf of Blackwood Environment Society, to continue funding the community land care officer position at the current level of 2 days a week. Can we just flip the slide? The current MOU concludes in June 2026. So we've just come forward with a simple request. I want to tell you a little bit about what that position has achieved and why we think you should continue it. So this community land care officer position has been continuous for 13 and a half years. I think Councillor Pratico was the only one on council when that first started, so that was quite a while ago. It's a really genuinely efficient use of public funds. We'll just flick on to the next slide. So the money comes from the Shire Grants Program. There is absolutely zero admin overhead to the Shire itself. The position is administered by BES, and I've got my executive committee here today. Mike, Kylie and myself have got decades of NRM experience, and we provide the technical support to the land care officer, and James, our retired auditor, provides very experienced financial oversight. The position benefits the whole of the Shire, from gardeners to farms and urban properties, and the Shire itself through its reserves. And importantly, it's a gateway to more funding. So the core funding that the Shire provides enables us to attract external grants, which are quite significant. In fact, the external grants have enabled us to provide an extra day a week of employment for the officer. We'll flip on to the next one. Just in terms of what that investment has done, over the 13 and a half years, the Shire contributions a bit over $530,000, and that has enabled us to attract over $660,000 in additional funding. So for every dollar that you contribute, the community gets an extra $1.25 in total investment. And our main funding partners are Southwest NRM, which is our regional body, State NRM, which is the state body, the Department of FRRR, the Department of Primary Industry, Federal Government and Taliesin. So we have quite a few partnerships. And I guess what's important about the additional grants is that the core funding that you provide gives our land care position the sort of credibility and the capability to coordinate projects, and that's what the funding bodies are looking for. It's a requirement that we have that sort of solid base in our applications. Flick on. So what does the Shire get out of this? Probably our flagship program is the Helping Hands Bushcare program. This is a community volunteer program. We've got about 20 regular volunteers, about 10 turn up each fortnight to work on Shire reserves. There's a whole list of reserves there, about 12 Shire bushland reserves that the volunteers work on, doing weeding, planting, track maintenance. And just as an example of what that's worth, over the last 8 years, we calculated there's about 4,000 volunteer hours, and at the standard volunteer valuation rate, that's nearly $150,000 worth of labour which has been put into Shire reserves. A good example of that is the, we'll flick over to the Layman Street Reserve. It's the next, one back. So this reserve is a couple of hectares above the Blackwood River. It's on the walk trail on the, I suppose it's at the eastern bank of the river. It's a reserve that was just a weedy area with a cover of trees. So since 2018, we started off with a bequest, and we've been maintaining and revegetating that reserve. Pretty much all of the labour is volunteer labour, but the planning and coordination is carried out by the Land Care Officer. In 2024, we received a state NRM grant of $50,000 that we've used to extend that reserve. Pretty much the aim of this one is to grow our local hakea species. There are seven species of hakeas that are a really important food for cockatoos. And for re-veg projects, it's often hard to get the seed of these species. So the hakea seed orchard, as well as general revegetation, it focuses on the hakea species. We turn the next one. As well as the work on Shire reserves, the Land Care Officer does a water monitoring service. So she, people bring in their water samples and they can do salinity and pH, but she also monitors the Blackwood River, Somme Creek, Jijilup Brook and the Shire Dam. Landholder advice is really important. We've got a lot of new people moving into Bridgetown who are buying acreages who haven't had any land management experience. So the Land Care Service is able to do on-site visits, help people with their weed ID, their weed management, revegetation, water quality, soil, all of those things. The position also runs 3 to 4 community education workshops each year. And in 2025, we had the Great Cocky Count, a re-veg workshop on dams to wetlands, mast owls and rodenticides, wildfowl walks and cultural awareness. Our volunteers, we've been able to access external grants to provide volunteer training. So volunteers can do chainsaw, OzChem accreditation, dieback training, senior first aid. And very importantly are the partnerships that the position creates. So Southwest NRM is our regional land care body. BirdLife Australia, we've done a lot of work on cockatoos with them. DPIRD, we're doing a soils project at the moment. Blackwood Biosecurity, they focus on declared weeds, whereas we cover the whole suite of environmental weeds. Transition Bridgetown and the WA Landcare Network. And just to put a face on the position, on the left is Carrie Williamson, who's our current Landcare Officer. She's been working with us for 4 years. And next to her is Cheryl Hammonds, who was the previous Land Care Officer who did 6 years of work before she retired to Busselton. And I think one thing that they have in common, they're passionate, they're incredibly hardworking, and they can run a project on a shoestring. They don't waste anything. One more. And just recently we've launched a junior Land Care program, which is a 12-month program for Blackwood region youth and families, giving them practical skills and learning about the environment and the connection to the natural world. We've actually funded this, BES has funded that ourselves, but the creation and the idea of the program has come from the Land Care Officer. So our our request is pretty simple and straightforward. Please continue to fund the Landcare officer at 2 days a week and help us to sustain this coordination, our waterway monitoring, our landholder services, volunteer programs, and the grants that we can seek that would benefit the whole Shire. And just one thing I'd like to emphasise, the Landcare position is quarantined and run completely separately from the forest advocacy work that we do and the community Landcare nursery, which is actually self-funding. So that position is totally separate from the other work that we do. If you want to talk to me about it, please contact me or pop down to the Landcare office, which is behind the new EV station. We'd love to tell you more about our program. And I did write to councillors in March with a sort of bit of background material, so I think there are some contact details on that. And that's all I've got to say. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Ms. Stewing. Is there any questions from the councillors?
Well, come see us.
Councillor Pearce.
It came up, I think, last year, might have been last year.
Yeah.
Is there, with the request for funding, is there any consideration being given for CPI, at least increases in carries?
Well, for about 3 years, the agreement was there'd be no increase in funding with CPI. Last year, we had an increase, so the last grant, I think, was $50,500, and that had not increased for about 3 years. So originally it was attached to the CPI, but really that we're at the mercy of the council as to whether they want to do that. It could be a bit problematic at the moment with the way inflation's going, so I don't know. It's really up to councillors to decide that.
Does this year's one match last year's, or is it more?
The one that we're on at the moment that finishes in June 2026 was more than the year before, because for the prior 3 years before that, there'd been no increase at all. So the amount of money was actually fixed. And then last year we had a small increase. Yeah, so we're way behind what the CPI is at the moment. Yeah. We're looking for you to maintain the 2 days a week. Clearly, everybody wants a CPI, but really, we're at your mercy. So, it's up to the Shire to decide that. But we'd love you to continue it. Thank you.
Councillor Fletcher.
Jenny, thank you for your presentation and to committee members for coming along. Question, if the Shire is able to provide those dollars, and are the chances of you being able to still maintain that dollar for $1.25?
Oh, you fund us.
Other funds as well.
Yeah, well, we've every year we've been pretty successful in our grant applications. It's pretty hard to get funding. The federal government has really changed the way that they fund land care, so it mostly goes to the regional bodies. And then that filters down to us. We're always looking for new partnerships and ways to find extra days for the Landcare officer. We're open to, we're pretty good at getting grants, so we work hard at that. So is that what you're asking me, or? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We don't just depend on what the Shire does, but that just gives us the opportunity to do more, so we can get that better value for the community. Yep, thanks.
Thanks.
There being no further questions, I just want to thank the BES for their attendance and their presentation today. That's fantastic. Thank you very much. I'll now move on to item 8 in the agenda, comments on agenda items by parties with an interest. There being no comments, I'll move on to item 9 in the agenda, There's been no application for leave. Item 10, confirmation of minutes. I call for someone to move that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 26th of March 2026 be confirmed as a true and accurate record. Do I have a mover? Councillor Gillies is the mover.
Sorry.
Yes, Councillor, you may ask a question.
Actually, I've got a question and then just a comment. Through the chair, I would like to ask the CEO.
Can I just get a seconder, please?
Oh, so you may.
Councillor Fletcher, thank you. Councillor Gillies.
Through the chair, I would like to ask the CEO if there's any update in regard to the notice of motion and the contact with Taliesin and the Education Department.
CEO.
So, yes, we have sent a letter to the CEO of Taliesin requesting a meeting with him. I received a response via email yesterday to say that his PA would be in contact to make a meeting for myself and the Shire President. As yet, we haven't contacted the Department of Education, but we will do that next week.
Wonderful, thank you. And a supplementary comment, really, and it's to do with the minutes where in the same item, Councillor Pearce is noted as having voted when in actual fact he was out of the room.
Is that still in the minutes?
I believe it, well.
Okay, I believe that that's been taken
out.
It
has,
but,
okay,
yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Councillor. There being no further questions or queries about the minutes of the meeting of the 26th of March, I'll ask that all those in favour. Thank you, councillors. Item 11 on the agenda, there are no announcements by the presiding member this evening. Item 12 on the agenda, notification of disclosures of interest. Do we have any disclosures of interest?
So I would like to disclose a financial interest in item 18.3 as it relates to my employment as the CEO Performance Review Committee.
Thank you. Thank you, CEO. Item 13 on the agenda, questions on agenda items by elected members. Are there any questions on agenda items from members this evening? There being no questions, I'll move on to item 14. Considerations of motions for which previous notice has been given. So we have item 14.1, notice of motion, acting CEO policy. That being my motion, I'll read it out, that Council directs the CEO, in consultation with Council, to review policy P3, appointment of the acting CEO / senior employees and the associated registers, and bring the review policy and registers back to Council's May 2026 Ordinary Council meeting. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Gillies.
Thank you.
I think what I'd like to do is to, in accordance with 18, clause 18.1 of the standing orders, local law, suspend clause 9.5, limitation of number of speeches. So I'm moving that we suspend limitation on number of speeches for this matter. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Redmond?
Through the chair, I would be supportive of keeping that suspension in place for the next two items, also all the notices of motion.
Thank you, Councillor. That being the case, with regards to the matter, we can put this out for discussion. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. Okay, with regards to suspending 9.5, those in favour? We have 7-4, and those against? And we have one against. Two against. So 6-4, two against. Motion passed. By way of background to the notice of motion, it came to my attention that the policy identified for senior employees, whereas I think it was in May or June 2025, council resolved to work, move towards a three-director model, right, which was contrary to the policy. But not only that, that rather than those directors being senior staff, they operated as standard employees. And so I brought this to the attention of the local government department, and their advice to me was to bring it to the CEO's attention, so that the CEO could either bring the matter back to council to resolve the conflict between what was taking place in actuality versus what the policy would have take place. And so it was for the CEO to either bring the matter to council, but the department also recommended that a notice of motion could be brought to council. As a consequence, we now have this motion here. So that's the background. Does anyone have any comments?
Just a question through to the CEO, if that's possible.
Yep. Question, yes.
I'm interested in the comment area, it basically is saying that changes are underway, that the rewriting of the policy is underway. I'm just wondering how far along that is.
So we, as per normal practice, we would bring the policy to council forum before bringing it to OCM. So we were aiming to bring it to the next council forum. However, in the interim, I've had people on leave and off sick. So I'm not sure exactly how far progressed they are with it. But that was the intention, that we'd bring it to a concept forum and then to OCM either in May or June anyway. So,
thank you.
Councillor Pearce.
How would we go about making an amendment to so that it could be read more along the lines of bring it as soon as practicable or as soon as you can, rather than setting a May deadline, given that we've got a few things coming up and you've got a few people away?
Via an amendment, Councillor. So are you proposing an amendment, yeah? So it actually reads that the review policy and registers are brought back to the May ordinary meeting.
Yeah, I don't have an exact, but brought back when appropriate or something, I don't know. That suggestion maybe from the CEO.
So my preference is to have an actual date on there, but given the length of time between now and the May OCM, I would like to request that it actually is the June 2026 OCM, because that gives us a bit more leeway in terms of discussing with council and making any taking on any feedback and making any adjustments to the policy prior to bringing it to an OCM. So, June would probably be preferable, and that could just be done if the mover and the seconder were comfortable with that. That could just be done by a word change of changing May to June.
I'm supportive of that. Councillor Gillies?
Yes.
Yeah. Given that both the mover and the seconder are supportive of making that small change, it doesn't change the intent of the notice of motion. Are there any other inputs to this motion, councillors? That being the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Thank you, councillors. Moving on to item 14.2. This is another motion that I put forward. It, and I'll read the motion. That council directs the CEO to review policy RV1, method of valuation of rateable properties, and to bring the review policy back to council's May 2026 ordinary council meeting. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Redmond. Now we're still standing order 9.5 is still suspended, so you can speak a number of times. Again, this in reviewing council's policies, I recognise that and it was, I think it was as a consequence of a forum where some consideration to rating was given. It came to my attention that council did have a policy, a rating policy, which indicated that generally spot rating wouldn't be considered by council. And I just thought that perhaps council would have a different, this council may have a different opinion about whether or not spot rating should or should not be considered. And so I, that is the rationale for bringing it back to council's, raising it for council to consider reviewing. Is there any questions or Councillor Redmond?
Thank you. I'm always keen for opportunities to see if we can improve our ratings policy. So I think this is a great idea. Through the chair, I would like to ask the CEO if a similar issue as to the previous motion applies here, and if a May date is preferable or not, and whether the timing is important if we think that changes to this policy are going to impact on the upcoming financial year. My feeling is probably not, but I would like the CEO to tell us.
CEO?
So the part of this policy that requires change is pretty simple to change, and although it's not that simple to implement, if you wanted to go and do spot rating, we've done a bit of research into it, and there is no way that we can get it in place for the upcoming rate cycle. However, we would, if we were to go down that path and consider spot rating, then that would be for a future year, and it would be part of a rating strategy that we're going to put together. So making the change to the policy allows us to consider all of the rating options rather than to say that council won't generally consider one particular rating option. So this one is pretty easy to change, and I think we'd be able to meet that May 2026 deadline.
Any further questions or input? Councillor Fletcher.
I'm just looking at this and, you know, saying that because we've changed council, all of a sudden all our policies are going to start changing. I think having good policies and making good policies is the work of council. But at the same time, I think we have to be very careful that we're not changing it because we have a different opinion to someone, a council 6 months ago. I think that's really important. But I still, you know, I will support this one. But I see that if we were to say, let's throw out every policy because we're a different council, I don't think that's a very good, a safe move to make. And I hope it's only for a few policies, not all, and possibly that I know most policies have a review date on them anyway, and that we adhere to those review dates rather than every now and again changing because we think it might be something that we disagree with.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Gillies?
Yes, I would just, I agree with Councillor Fletcher, but I would also like to add that I believe that there are some policies that have required work and do need an update, and that is actually what's occurring. It's got nothing to do with whether it's a new council or whether there's disagreement about what was actually in the written policies. It's about the need for them to be updated. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. CEO.
Yes, I'd just like to make a comment that our governance staff have been working on a calendar and schedule that puts in place a review for every policy that we have. and it covers a period of about 2.5-3 years at the moment, because of that requirement that we've put in place that we bring everyone back to a council forum, so it is considered and it's not just dumped on council at an OCM with administration saying we think you should change this policy. So there will be a considered approach, and once that schedule is finalised, we'll let council know what that schedule is. It'll be up on the council portal so you can see when policies are due to be reviewed, and that doesn't mean that they can't be brought forward out of that schedule, but it will just give you an idea of all of the policies that we have and when we're going to get around to reviewing them all.
Thanks for that update, CEO. That's very helpful to the discussion, I believe. Is there any other input from council or questions? There being no questions or further input, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Thank you, councillors. I now move on to item 14.3, notice of motion, car park. Councillor Redman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just as a quick prelude, the motion makes reference to an attached diagram. Unfortunately, the diagram was omitted from the agenda. It was distributed via email this afternoon, and I'm hoping that there's a copy that is going to be put on the screen. It was going to come to the meeting to be put on the screen. Meredith's right hand, yes. One of the officers emailed it through this afternoon. You may have. When I maybe submitted my notice of motion, you might have seen it. One of the officers was kind enough to do a better version because my diagram was amateurish. Rough, yes, that's a good word. Okay, I'm going to go ahead, and while Erin finds it, I'm going to read the motion.
Thank you, Councillor.
I move that Council amend parking conditions for the Civic Centre car park on Civic Lane as per the diagram to require, one, a 20-minute time limit on the two parking bays oriented parallel to and located closest to Sear Street, and they're marked A in the picture, and two, a two-hour time limit on the five parking bays oriented perpendicular to Sear Street and located closest to Sear Street.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder for the motion? Councillor Robinson, seconder. Thank you, Admin. That's great. Councillor Redmond, would you like to speak to your motion?
Thank you. Yes. So I've had some feedback from community members about having difficulty finding parking to easily access the Shire offices. And I myself, when I've had to pop in quickly during the week, have noticed as well that there's a lack of available car parks in the Civic Centre. Luckily for me, I can walk quite a long way, but not all of our ratepayers and community members have that ability. So this motion intends to keep some movement through those seven bays through the day so that we don't have maybe employees or workers in their area parking there for the entire business day, but rather we limit the time to give more opportunity for people coming in for a brief visit to the Shire office to be able to find a bay in close proximity of the footpath and the entry to the building.
Thank you, Councillor. Before we proceed, I'm going to resume Standing Orders 19.5, or put it to Council that we resume 9.5, limitation of number of speeches. So those in favour to resume?
Seconder.
Oh, seconder. Councillor McCrae, second. Thank you, Councillor. Those in favour? Thank you, Councillors. Councillor Robinson, do you have, would you like to speak to the motion?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I think it's well overdue. Even though there is sufficient parking across the road, I think it's great that we've taken this on board and as a group have decided to look after the best interests of our ratepayers and not as mobile as others. My only concern in relation to it is it's a common, I guess, is the regulatory enforcement of that, and to make sure that we keep an eye on that, just to make sure that those timelines are timeframes are taken into account and enforced.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there anyone who'd like to speak against the motion? Councillor Fletcher, speaking against.
Not quite against, but it's I actually am supportive, but my concern is that have we got sufficient parking for our employees that work in this building in that car park, and if not, what would the impact will this have?
Thank you, Councillor. So it's a question to the CEO. Thank you. CEO?
My view is that the majority of employees that work in this building don't have mobility issues and therefore can park a bit further away. There is enough parking around this area for employees to be able to park. A lot of employees park up on the rail line there, but there's also the parking over the road there. So I don't think it's a real issue for our employees.
Thank you, CEO. Councillor Pradico.
I have a question. In putting these time limits, are we going to expect that council monitors them, or are we just going to hope that people will abide the markings?
CEO?
Yeah, as per the comments in the report, we do have time-limited parking in selected bays around Hampton Street in particular, with some 20-minute bays, and there's a number of two-hour bays. In general, it's pretty hard to monitor and do enforcement with the resources that we've got. However, if we were made aware of ongoing issues in a particular area, then that's when I would direct the ranger to put some effort into making sure that those bays weren't taken up with vehicles parking for longer than what the restricted time limit says. So we'd normally do it where we know there's a problem, but you know, we don't have someone walking around doing parking enforcement throughout the day, but she can do it when we need it to be done.
In that case, I support it.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there any other questions or input? Councillor Fletcher.
My question, obviously the direction, we assume that the western entry into the those two parallel bays to Steer Street, that is that correct? You can't exit that way. The reason I ask that is because if you pull up into those parallel bays and get out, you've got a curb right there. So I'm just talking, if we're talking people with some level of mobility issues, it'd be wonderful if they could come in there.